Today is our last day of our month of prayer, and I'm excited. I'm really excited for what's going to happen today. You might not know it, but God's here. Amen? Amen. And he wants to do something. He wants to do something really cool. So let's kind of just recap where we've been, and we'll go together so that we're all on one page. I've been talking about how to pray big prayers. I've said to pray is to change. To pray is to change. Often it's us that changes first. It's not our circumstances. It's how I view that circumstance that's changed. And we want to pray big prayers. We don't want to just pray small, weak, spineless prayers. We want to pray prayers that change things. Mostly, I pray that it will change us, like I said. So how do we pray these big prayers? The first one was pray right. So we get our minds right, we get our hands right where we're clean, and then we get our hearts right. We don't want that heart of stone, we want a heart of flesh. Then we pray strong, and how we pray strong is often through our weakness, even through our suffering and through our submission to the Holy Spirit, and to Jesus and to the Father. So what looks weak is really strong. Jesus reframes that. And then we're going to pray long. Because we don't want to just come with the right heart. We don't want to just come with strength. We don't want that to fizzle out. We want something to move and continue to move. For there to be the word on my head, and we'll go through this, is posterity. Something that happens into the future. When we talk about praying to change, it's often in terms of doing. And that's where we get stuck. It's, I want my marriage to be restored, or my wife or husband, I don't want them to be this way anymore. I want them to change. Or maybe, you know, it's I want my finances to be blessed, or I want this, you know, brand new Maserati car. I want change to happen externally. But that's not often, like I said, how he brings that change about. When we talk about prayer, when we talk about how to pray, I'm not going to so much tell you sit up strong, stand up, raise your hands, get on your knees. I'm not talking so much about how we do it in terms of that posture or the specifics of it. What I'm saying is how we should be changed in our hearts when we pray, when we come to that relationship. And when we pray, it's that relationship that is the vehicle for change. It's not rules, it's not religion, it's relationship. So we're going to pray big prayers. We're going to pray big prayers. We're going to finish this series off with praying long prayers. So our text is Matthew 6, 9 to 13. If you want to stay there for a little bit, we're going to jump around a little bit. But Matthew 6, 9 to 13 is the Sermon on the Mount. It's specifically the Lord's Prayer, which if you're not familiar with that, that's okay. We're going to go through it together. To give you some context, Jesus is preaching this huge, long sermon, and there's so much in it. But the main points are reframing what was once the interpretation of the law to the fullness of the interpretation of the law. He who is the Word is standing on a mountain giving the Word to his people. So he's giving you this backstage pass into understanding the fullness of the mind of God. And so he gives us this prayer, the Lord's Prayer. So let's say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And that's okay. We can pray, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm glad we can pray this together, because this is a prayer of community. This isn't my prayer. This is the prayer of the Big C Church, the capital C. Everyone, together, we pray Our Father. Okay, let's get into today's teaching. First thing we do is we pray with persistence. We pray with persistence. Persistence is something that maybe has a negative connotation to it for you. And that's okay. Jesus is reframing things. I'm hoping that he reframes this in your mind as well. And it can have a negative connotation to it. But persistence is this. It's continuing. It's continuing to do something despite difficulty or even opposition. This is something that takes tremendous effort on our part. We usually get this single-minded focus to achieving this goal, and we persist despite all these things that come against us. It's something that lasts usually only for a time and depending on the task. A really good example is a kid demanding something, persisting. And if you're a parent, I know you know exactly what I'm talking about. I am just about to become an official dad. I'm already a dad, but I'll figure that out soon enough. But what I do have is cats, and cats are persistent. So 6 a.m, they're at the door, they're meowing, saying, "I'm hungry, I want food." And we go, "Oh," and then we lock them up behind a different door, and then we hear them again, "I'm hungry, I want food," and they are persistent. A single-minded focus towards achieving a goal, a cat getting its breakfast in the morning. And in spite of the difficulty they might face or the opposition, like a closed door, they persist. And what do? We feed them. So Jesus gives us a model for persistence, actually. It's found in Luke 18. And we're going to camp there for just a second. I just want to give you a little bit of a perspective when we reframe what persistence looks like. So let me read this to you. It's Luke 18. We'll start in verse 1. It says, "One day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who neither feared God nor cared about his people. A widow of the city came to him repeatedly saying, 'Give me justice in this dispute with my enemy.' And the judge ignored her for a while, but finally he said to himself, 'I don't fear God or care about people, but this woman is driving me crazy. She's driving me nuts. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she's wearing me out with her constant requests.' And then the Lord said to her, 'Learn,' or then the Lord said, 'Learn a lesson from this unjust judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give you justice to his chosen people who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly, but when the Son of Man returns, how many will he find on earth who have faith?'" Okay, we're just going to walk through this. This is the parable of the persistent widow. That's what I have in the footnote of my Bible. So I go, okay, I know that she's persistent. The context is she's praying because that's what Jesus tells us. You should always pray and never give up. And we look at it, and it's not for a brand new car or for blessing financially. It's for justice. That's what she's crying out for. So the first thing we see is this widow and the unjust judge. There's two different characters mainly. This unjust judge shouldn't necessarily take this widow in and give her justice because he's unjust. If he were a just judge, he would know the law. He would know that a widow is someone that gets special attention, special favor, special blessing, because she's vulnerable to attacks, to manipulation, to being taken advantage of. So an unjust judge should not give her any more of his time. And we see that happening. But this widow, she should receive care. Then it says that he ignored her for a while. He tried to not give her what she wanted. How long is a while? Like, actually, when you think about it, it's just ignored her for a while. When we look at the Greek, it actually means a really long time. A little while is actually a really long time. And when we get stuck, when we are trying to persist for something, oftentimes we get stuck right in this sentence and we go, "I'm waiting and I'm waiting and I'm waiting. Is there going to be justice? Is God going to answer my prayer?" And the answer is yes. Yes, he will. But in a while. Soon is the word that Jesus uses a lot. And it's frustrating for us. But she is the example. He says, "For a while." And then he says this a little bit later, this unjust judge. He says that she's wearing me out with her constant requests. She's wearing me out. This term in the Greek, again, I'm just giving you all the context. When he says wearing me out, it's actually like a boxer. So think a black eye. That was the literal interpretation. I'm getting a black eye because of how often she's punching me with this request. It's being worn down. It's this persistence. Even though he's not giving me what I desire, what I feel like is just and true, I'm still going to persist. Even in the waiting, I'm going to persist. And in the end, he says, I'm worn out. Through this persistence, she's able to continue despite this delay. Then I want to point you to the elect, this group of people. He says, his chosen people who cry out to him day and night. So then we get introduced into this. And yes, it's spiritual Israel, it's literal Israel, but we are grafted into that promise. We, the church, are part of God's chosen people. So he gives us this promise. Don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who what? Cry out day and night. Day and night. This is something that we forget about. This is what we've been doing this whole month. We have been crying out to God over and over and over again. How long? Day and night. Constant prayer is a mark of a true believer's life. If you go, oh, I don't know if I'm in constant prayer, maybe just hold on to that. Let God speak to you. Are you in constant prayer? It's what marks a true believer. Okay, let's keep going. The whole theme, like I said, is justice. The ones who are persecuted, the ones who are weak, the ones who are suffering. This is the theme. The one who is the widow overcomes through persistence. The one who is unjust, the one who is even evil, the one who is resentful. And he says this, God will render a just decision. How much more so should we lean on God? Should we trust in God than this unjust judge? So when we look at the world and we say, things are going my way, I'm praying, I am day and night, I'm God's chosen people, I'm gonna persist. But when God, especially in this context, justice, when will you finally bring justice to this scenario in my life? When will you finally vindicate me in this area? And God says, I will, and soon. And I don't know when that is for you, but I believe he's saying that to you today. We can rely on God to keep his end. We are the ones who fail to persist. God never fails. Amen? He always accomplishes what he wants, what he desires. So we can rely on God every single time to come through for us. But it's we who fail to persist. And that's what he ends with. How many will we find on earth who have faith to persist, to keep going despite the difficulty, to keep coming back to the throne room, to keep petitioning Jesus, to keep saying, I trust you despite all these things that are happening against me. We persist. That's how we pray. Number two, we pray with perseverance. And you say, what's the difference between perseverance and persistence? Okay. Let me tell you, I was really excited. Perseverance is overcoming. So persistence is this continuing. I'm continuing despite anything that's coming against me. I have a single-minded focus. I will get there. Perseverance is the actual completion of this. It's the overcoming. It's the winning. Here's the official definition that I found. It's continuing in a course of action despite the lack of success. And you go, well, isn't that just foolish? Well, not when you're being obedient. When God calls you to something, he doesn't often give you everything that you desire right away. Oftentimes, he has more than we can even understand or imagine. In the end, we have to persevere. Despite what might come against us, in spite of the lack of success, in spite of whatever we're hoping and believing for, we overcome through this difficult situation, through this strong determination, which we would call persistence. It's this overcoming an obstacle. I said that persistence could last for a time. Perseverance is something that lasts for a lifetime. It's something that continues on over and over and over and over again because it's not based on a task, it's based on our life. Because we have so many things that we need to overcome in our lives, that we need to hold fast to the one who gives us perseverance. I want to give you two verses. Ephesians 6 and Romans 12. Could you put those up there for me? Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. All times? Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's Paul. Rejoice in our confident hope. Who's our confident hope? Jesus is our confident hope. Be patient in trouble, and what? Keep on praying. Pray in the Spirit. Be persistent. Keep on praying. Persevere. How do we pray in the Spirit at all times? How do we be persistent in our prayers? How do we keep on praying even though it's hard? And we're not getting what we want, and we're not seeing success in our eyes, and we're not receiving the promise that Jesus has said, I will give to you soon. We remain in the Spirit. We keep on going despite the opposition that comes, despite everything that tells us it doesn't matter what you're doing, because that's the voice of the enemy that comes in. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what you've tried to accomplish. It doesn't matter. You don't matter even. And Jesus says, all these things are more in me, the confident hope. So how do we keep on praying? We remain in him. We can do nothing apart from him. Nothing. Literally nothing. So when we talk about that prayers mark our lives as a believer, when we say to persist in prayer, when we say to keep on praying in the Spirit at all times, what does it look like? And I would suggest to you that it looks like this relationship that Jesus explores with us. And it's this side-by-side relationship where, yes, he is holy and above, and yet he still came down to our level to identify with us, to lift us out of our shame and guilt, to purify us so that we can come to him holy and blameless. And we treat this relationship like this building sometimes. Well, Jesus is here, so I'll meet Jesus here. But Jesus is with you whether you like it or not. He's with you when you go to bed. He's with you when you wake up. He's with you when you go to work. He's with you when you pray. He's with you when you say amen. Amen is not goodbye. Amen is I agree with the prayer that is prayed. He doesn't leave you. He never forsakes you. So the true mark of a believer is a relationship. Not following the rules, not making yourself measure up to this standard. It's being in relationship, and then side by side, Jesus does what only he can do, and we can't get there on by ourselves. My testimony, I've only been saved for under 10 years now. So look what God can do. He's not done yet. It's pretty crazy that I'm up here and not doing what I was doing. Never would have guessed this. I had a really good friend all throughout middle school and high school. Her name was Nikki. And Nikki was a Christian. And I wasn't very good to her. I didn't treat her nicely. I didn't treat her well. And yet she was a Christian. So out of the overflow of the love of Christ, she prayed for my salvation. Every day she said, will you save Danny? Will you bring him to repentance? Will you bring him to here, to this stage? And she didn't know what she's praying, of course, but God has a plan. So she prayed and prayed and prayed. And day in, day out, she prayed for me. And it was years later, and I still hadn't accepted Christ. In fact, I was further away than probably when she started praying for me. And she gave up. She literally said to me, I gave up praying for you. And yet God saved me. He brought me to this place. So even when she didn't persist, even when she didn't persevere, God will have his way. He'll do whatever he wants to, however he wants to, and it is foolish to think that we can stop him or that we can change his plans. He knows. He knows. Romans 8:37. Says that we're more than overcomers. Let's go to the next one, Amber. It says we're more than overcomers. This is Romans 8:37 in two different translations. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory, every circumstance, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Here's a different version. No, in all these things, what? In all the difficulty, the trial, the things that try and separate us, we are more than conquerors through him. Where we are deficient, he is sufficient. Where we experience a breakdown, when we experience weakness, when we experience defeat, we experience overwhelming victory through Christ. Doesn't matter how dark your situation is. Doesn't matter what you're praying for. Let me tell you, the battle has already been won. He has gone before you. He has fought the battle, and he is here today to say, soon. Soon. Are you excited? I'm trying to excite you. I'm trying to get something out of you. Persevere. Persist. He's coming soon. That's what he said. He's coming back soon. And again, I don't want to beat you with a rod, but we can't expect to live in this victory when we barely walk in relationship with him. It's the relationship that makes the difference. Through him, we have overwhelming victory. Through him, we are more than conquerors. Without him, we are defeated and useless. We are deficient. But in him, we are sufficient. Last but not least, we persist, we're persevered, or perseverant, something like that. We pray with posterity. What is posterity? I have three P's, so already you know that this message is highly anointed. But posterity is future focused. It's something that goes out into the future. It's something that doesn't just concern itself with now. It's often to do with a legacy. It's often to do with heritage, where we've come from. But mostly it has two different meanings in the Greek. So the first one is this seed. And this seed is specifically shown in the parables of Jesus a lot of the time. But it's a seed of a plant or an animal that's sown to produce offspring. So think about planting this seed. Think about sowing this seed. Think about the parables that Jesus used, if you're familiar with those stories, where Jesus tells this parable of a farmer throwing seed, scattering seed, and it's meant to represent the word of Christ, the word of God going out and bringing back this harvest of people. We are his harvest. This seed going out into the future. And it has these spiritual connotations where it looks to the future, to what is to come. It's almost this, I'm going to plant this tree that I know I won't sit under. Have any of you ever done that? You planted a tree. There you go. Lena's planted a tree that she knows she probably won't get to sit under. She's planting with posterity. She's thinking into the future. Think of Abraham and his covenantal blessing, where God said, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars, or like the grains of sand on the beach against the ocean. So numerous, so vast, so wide. And Abraham goes, well, what do I need to do this? And God arranges this elaborate ceremony. You can go read about it in Genesis. And it's this term of covenant, which is this unbreakable promise. And in those days, what you would do for a covenant is you would split apart an animal. You'd tear it into half. And then what you would do is you'd walk through in between those two pieces and say, if I were to break my covenant, let this also happen to me. Let it be torn in two, because to break a promise of this magnitude should tear me apart. And he puts Abraham into this deep, deep sleep, because he knows that he can't possibly hold up his end of the bargain. And God himself walks in between those two halves and says, in a matter of fact, if I don't keep my promise to you, Abraham, let this happen to me. And because God cannot lie and he's perfect, that can never happen. But he swears by the only thing he can possibly swear to, which is himself. So God creates this incredible promise to Abraham. And says, doesn't matter what you do, I will be with you. And that doesn't mean that there's not blessings or curses for obedience or disobedience. You can't just do whatever you want without consequences. But he will never leave you. He will never forsake you, because he's sworn to it. And we are the heirs with Christ in this promise. So this promise is for you as we look throughout the Bible. So seed, posterity, going into the future. Number two, it's a remnant. And I heard this word talked about today, this morning. A remnant is this group of people that's left. It's specifically where sin has threatened to destroy the seed. It's a group that is to be the seed after this time of cleansing or destruction or pruning that God has brought to his people for good. So there's this group, the remnant, the leftover. So we have the seed going forth, the remnant coming from. Deuteronomy 28, this is what I was just talking about, blessings and cursings for disobedience. We can go there, and you should read about this, because it affects us today. Basically, what he says, to give you the gist of it, is if you obey me, if you do as I ask, here are the blessings. This is what is to come. This is what I promise you. And if you are to disobey me, here is the results of your sin. And it is separation, it is persecution, it was execution in a lot of ways. It was this separation where they got taken over by enemies and their land was decimated. So yes, when we pray with posterity, there is a good way and there is a bad way. But this is to do with our sin and that relationship, like I taught you about just a little bit ago. The clearest place that I can show you this is in John 17. There's this twofold connotation in Jesus' prayer before his crucifixion in John. Do you got it? Oh yeah, come on. John 17. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me. This is Jesus through their message. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. This is him and the Father. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And may they be in us, so that the world will believe that you've sent me. So we see this. We see persistence. We see perseverance, and we see posterity, all in one verse. How will they know? How will people know that he sent us? We will be unified. We will be in him. How will they know us? By our love. What greater love than to lay down your life for a friend? That is what Jesus did for us. Through this, all the sin, all the separation, all the pain, all the abandonment that we experience in this world, Jesus came to redeem it, to unite us, and Christ becomes this seed that goes into the future. Let's go back to the Lord's Prayer. We don't have it up there, but let us go back to the Lord's Prayer. When we think about it, they're on the sides. So if you don't know where to look, look on the sides. We have those banners. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. When we look at this prayer, let your kingdom come. When does his kingdom come? Well, his kingdom came in the beginning of the foundations of the earth. It's here right now because Jesus ushered in this new era of the kingdom. And it's going forth into the future when Jesus comes back. Perseverance. I'm going to persist despite your sin, despite your adultery against the Father, against God, who's called us his own people. I'm going to persist. I'm going to keep going despite this difficulty. And then I'm going to persevere, even though it doesn't look like my people come back to me. I'm going to persevere. I'm going to overcome. And then he's going to look with posterity into the future. And he's going to help us to pray. He's going to help us. There's these two verses. There's these verses. It's Genesis 3:15 and Romans 5:17. And I want to read you these because through one man, through Christ, everything changed. Everything changed. Yeah, here's Genesis 3:15. Don't you love the Bible? I love the Bible. It's just so cool to me. And I will cause hostility between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. He will strike your head and you will strike his heel. For those who don't know, this is God speaking to Eve. And he's specifically giving this prophetic word, one that echoed throughout history and will continue to echo out. This is right at the beginning. He's saying he, Jesus, let me just translate it for you. Jesus will strike Satan's head. And Satan, you will just strike his heel. Yes, there is something that you can do, but you are not as mighty as the one that I will send, my son. This is the Father speaking. And then we have Romans 15. It says, for the sin of one man, which is Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and his gift of righteousness. For all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man. Just one man changed the whole trajectory of human history, Jesus Christ. So while it looked dark, while it didn't look like success was going to happen, for many, many thousands of years, however long it was between Jesus and Adam, which I'm sure there was quite a bit, we can look at it as darkness, we can look at it as a unanswered promise, but really what Paul is trying to tell us is that through Adam, the sin came, and through the second Adam, through Jesus Christ, he reversed everything. What was evil has now become good. What was dirty has now become clean. I say this every single sermon. The starting point of praying big really is the beginning of this relationship. It's getting the foundational fundamentals right and then just doing them over and over and over and over again. I believe our fundamental today here is this. It's impermanence. It's impermanence. That what we can create, that what we can experience is not going to last. We can't possibly persist. We can't possibly persevere. We can't possibly pray with posterity because we are impermanent beings. And so I've caught on to this idea, and I keep on saying this is the only. And it's really helped me to do one thing, remain present. So I say this is the only time in all of history that these people you hear can experience this word and the blessing that Jesus is going to bring in this time. And we will never get this again. And it'll be different, but we can never get this again. This is the only Sunday that we can get this. This is the only time that my wife can be pregnant with my daughter, that one. And never again will she be pregnant in the same way with that daughter. When she's born, this is the only time that I get to experience this baby, this miracle that I've helped create in this circumstance, in this way. She'll grow up and she'll be different. That's the only time I can. And what it's doing is it's helping me to reframe that I am not an infinite being. I cannot experience things the way that God can experience things. In 100 years from now, it's 2125. We're going to be dead and buried. At least most of us. Maybe Janae will outlive us all. But we're going to be dead and buried. There's going to be strangers that live in our homes. They're going to drive our cars. We're not going to know them, and they're not going to know us. Everything that we worked so hard to own, that we sacrificed, that we gave up our time and our money for, someone else is going to own, or it's not even going to exist anymore. People that we don't know are going to gather in this church. Or maybe it won't even exist at all. Maybe this building won't exist. Our descendants may hardly know us, and our deeds will fade into oblivion. And soon we might not even be a memory, even though we want to be remembered. Soon we might not be remembered, for no one will be alive who knew us. We have no power, we have no might, we have no luxury that lasts the test of time. It's a sobering thought. Yet we worship a God of permanence. We worship a God who spoke at the beginning and is continuing to speak today. We serve a God who may echo our name through generations to come because of what he did through us like Abraham. He honors those who serve him, who persevere with persistence, and who look forward with posterity, church. There's a blessing in serving a permanent God who does not change. So here's what I believe he's called us to do today. It's 11:42. We're way before lunch. Lunch doesn't matter. Let's sacrifice that for a minute. I don't want any single person here to miss this blessing. If you're out in literally anywhere else, come into this sanctuary, because here today God wants to do something special. He wants to bless us. And we don't come here to church to receive his blessing. We come to meet with fellow Christians, and we come to meet with God, to love one another, be sharpened by one another. Today, he wants to bless you. That's why I asked the kids to come back. So first of all, repent. And I don't know what you need to repent for. I don't know how that looks. Repentance is, I was going in one way, and I'm turning around, and I'm going in a different direction. It's submission to the one who calls us to higher levels. It's submission to Jesus. I ask that you gather in your families, how big or how small, it does not matter. Gather in your families, and I ask that you pray together. I ask that you bless your descendants to come. Pray with posterity. I ask you to bless your house. Bless your seat where you're sitting. Bless this church. Bless your workplace. We ask for blessing because Jesus wants to pour it out today. Ask these things. Don't demand of God. He knows. He knows. Ask him. So right now, while I'm talking, get in your families, whatever that looks like. And then I would ask you to go and partner with another family, two together. I'm going to ask Mary Rose and her family and Heather and her family to come up on the stage because they lead worship. So right now, yes, please, come. This is where church is not, I come to participate. If church is boring for you, you're doing it wrong. And God wants to do something. There's no vibe, there's no magical thing happening here. It's the presence and power of Jesus. So get up from your seat, go find another family. I know it'll be uncomfortable. Do it anyways. Stand up. Go find another family, just like this. Yes, please. I love this. God's up to something. He's on the move. Looks like we're good. So here's what we're going to do. Let me give you some more context, and then I want to release you to do this ministry. We're going to ask for blessing, but we're also going to break off curses. Because things come against our families and against our line, and they have no power, but yet they seek to come and destroy and steal and kill what God has said. I will bless, I will bring these things out. I will give you new life. I'll give you that seed, that remnant. So we're going to declare and break off anything that comes against us. We have that authority as Christians, as believers in Christ, to declare that we break off the curses of the enemy. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then we're going to ask for blessing. So nothing can come against us because we have overwhelming victory in Christ Jesus. And then we're going to ask him to bless us, not because we're so great or so grand, but because he's so good. And that's what I want you to do. Me up here, my job is to equip you to do this ministry. This is your ministry. Right now, you're partnering with Jesus to change, to pray. My job is to equip you. So if you're in your little group with your families and you say, we just need some backup, we just need someone else to come and support us, then I'm going to stay right here. It's not because I'm special, it's because I'm called to be responsible to equip you to do the ministry. And anyone can come and help you. Everyone has the same power and authority in Jesus Christ, but I'm here to help you. However you need me, wave your hand, call me over, and I will be there. Again, there's no music. This is going to be uncomfortable. But watch what happens when you start to pray. So let me lead you and then be released, be equipped. Know that you are whole and perfect because he's given us every spiritual blessing. So Jesus, I pray that you would bless us. Would you come down in the power and presence of the Holy Spirit? Would you fill this room with your presence? Let it be thick so that we cannot even breathe because of how present you are in this place. We ask you to bless us in every single way. We declare that anything that has come against this church, that is present in this city, that is coming against our bloodlines, against our families, that anything that would come against us be broken off in the power of Jesus' name. Would you coat us with the blood of Jesus? Would you give us that blessing of being covered, being made whole, being made righteous and holy, Jesus? Give us that blessing, we ask. And don't just give us that blessing. I pray for my daughter. I pray for our daughters and sons. Would you pour that blessing out onto them? Would they understand that they are saved, that they are not of the world, that you have a hope and a plan and a future for them? Would you rise up in us a blessing of faith, God. I pray with posterity for my people. Would you equip us, Holy Spirit, to pray? Would you help us to be persistent in the ones that we are praying for? Would you help us to persevere despite all the obstacles that may come? And then would you help us to pray with posterity? Give my people the power that you promised us, Jesus. Give me the power to pray powerful prayers, not of my own power, but of yours, Jesus. In Jesus' name, I release you. Go and be free. Walk in power, walk in might, and bless your families. Bless your work. Bless your church. Bless, 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 and break off the curses of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Jesus, thanks for helping us grow. Thanks for pushing us and stretching us and making us uncomfortable, because it's where we're uncomfortable that we truly begin to experience growth. We can't grow when we're comfortable. I just pray, I agree, everything that was prayed here, I agree, I say amen. I pray that you wouldn't let this stop. I pray that this would overflow, that this thing that you've done, that you've commissioned me to go and proclaim, that we are to be a people that prays, that seeks your face above all else, that seeks your presence over your power. And yet we thank you and we praise you for your power. We trust in you. Help us to have faith that what we have prayed for, you will bring, but in your timing and in your way. We submit in all things to you. We submit in our weakness, we submit in our suffering, and we submit when you choose to glorify us. In every way, we say, your will be done, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We love you, we praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, and all those who agreed said, amen, amen. Thank you for participating.